A congregation defined is a group of people assembled for religious worship. What this definition does not say is how or why these people come together, how similar or different they are. Each of us has a different background, and because of that, a different take on how to interpret certain verses, or even a different way to view spiritual change and growth. Today I want us to take a little bit of personal inventory. This is something I feel that I often ask you to do when giving these lessons. And the reasons for this are at least twofold. The first is because we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure, as we read in the second chapter of Philippians. But second, my reasons for constant personal inventory are to guard against negative incrementalism. And that is to guard against the slowly degrading biblical and personal boundaries, which can lead us to distancing ourselves from the straight path that Jesus has laid for us. We have not been provided the written word as a rough outline, and we are not told those who haven't strayed too far from the path but tried pretty hard will be saved. Of course, these things are ultimately up to God to judge, but we can see a glimpse of how God views those who like to move boundaries in the fifth chapter of Hosea, verse 10. The princes of Judah have become like those who move a landmark. Upon them I will pour out my wrath like water. Sorry, my technology is failing me. This is not a position we want to find ourselves in. I'm sorry, I'm one of those people that needs to read everything I write, so I got a little off there. So this constant personal inventory and checking ourselves against where we are, where we were, and where we want to be, but most importantly, against what we read in Scripture, is to ensure that we stay on the straight and narrow path. One thing in my background that may give me a slightly different perspective than you is that for the past 7 years I have been a part of the Fire and Emergency Medical Services. I bring this up because, as I mentioned before, a different outlook sometimes can be beneficial. And in this case, perhaps a different way of looking at personal inventory techniques. In that time, I have spent most of it as an EMS provider. I've learned something about getting what we call a sample history from a patient to better understand their state when we arrive on scene and to better treat that patient in the minutes to come. In the emergency and medical services, the sample history is an acronym, something that we use very frequently because, frankly, we have all very similar mindset, and things that are easy to remember stick with us the best. So when we get into the sample history, the S refers to signs and symptoms. Signs are outward indications of illness or trauma, and symptoms are subjective interpretation of one's own condition or how the patient experiences illness or trauma. The A stands for allergies, damaging immune response by the body to a substance to which it becomes hypersensitive. M stands for medications. To know this can indicate some of the patient's medical conditions, and sometimes means that the paramedics cannot give certain other medications because of negative reactions between the two. P stands for past pertinent medical history, any previous medical conditions related to the present issue. L stands for last oral intake. When was the last time that this patient had anything to eat or drink, and what it was. And the last letter of the acronym is E, And the EE stands for Events Leading Up to the Incident That Prompted the Call for Help. I believe that this quick history of a patient on scene can translate well into the quick personal inventory or look at your spiritual health. First, signs and symptoms. This may be easier for someone close to you to recognize, a spouse or a confidant, because these things are outward indications of illness or trauma, or in this case, outward indications of poor spiritual health, or sometimes spiritual trauma. Have you been less interested in the Scripture lately? Thought less about God and His creation? Or spent less time in prayer? Or had a general lack of zeal? Maybe the trauma of losing a close loved one, or difficulties within the family or your job, marital strife have taken their tolls on your relationship with the Lord. The first thing I want you to consider is that these things are not uncommon, and it is not unusual to feel discouraged or even to present these outward signs of inward strife. One thing that is important to remember is to not pretend, to not put up an attempt to cover up these feelings. The psalmist writes in chapter 102, verses 1 through 4, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me and hear me swiftly in the day when I call. For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is struck down like the grass and has withered. I forget to eat my bread." So I encourage you, when meeting here with the congregation, or when we run into each other out in the world, talking before or after services, do not be afraid to answer honestly when someone asks you, "How are you doing?" Even if that means that your answer opens you up and offers up some vulnerability. We are here to lift one another up in spirit and in prayer, and we know the power of prayer. From countless examples in this congregation and others like it around the world, and also in James chapter 5, verse 16. "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power as it is working." The next letter, A, or what we called allergies earlier, was damaging immune response by the body to a substance to which it becomes hypersensitive. And this one was a little bit more difficult for me to draw a correlation, so I apologize if it feels that I'm stretching to make one. But this one I put down as spiritually damaging responses into situations to which we have become hypersensitive. And this is a difficult one because we are built to be passionate, to be sensitive, and to react. For many, anger is a constant battle, and it is, of course, as we know, not a sin to be angry, but it is rather what we do in our anger that can be sinful. We read in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." It's pretty easy, right? So, hot button topics like politics, or a hard fought loss of your favorite sports team, or an argument with someone you love very deeply. Very often in these situations we find ourselves not being quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, but often we are the inverse. We are quick to tell others to listen, quick to voice our own opinion, and all the while getting more angry that they won't listen, that they keep talking, and they themselves are also growing more angry. Though anger is only one example, perhaps your struggle is not anger, but maybe preoccupations with the things of this world. This is a broad stroke of the brush in terms of things to have difficulty with, but a dangerous one nonetheless. And remember that this is a personal evaluation, so you know what your own struggles are. Next in our sample history his medications. Our Lord is the great physician and certainly gives us advice for medication in one form or another. Proverbs the 17th chapter, verses 20 through 22. A man of crooked heart does not discover good, and one with a dishonest tongue falls into calamity. He who sires a fool gets himself sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And we are in need of the great physician's care. We read this in Luke 5, 31 and 32. And Jesus answered to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And we know that we are called to repentance, otherwise there's no use for us being here. Moving on, the P stands for past pertinent medical history, or in our case, past pertinent spiritual history. Where are you in your walk with Christ? What things have you endured that may be of service to you or others in the present or in the future? Have you experienced similar struggle as a brother who confides in you that you can use to help them in some way? In the medical sense, this stage is only in reference to the present situation. So in a personal inventory, have you dealt with something similar to what you're experiencing now? Struggle is constant, and that is because we are trying to make progress. So in this current state, find yourself good or poor. If poor, is this the same struggle that you have fought for a long time? And if that is true, what can be done to remedy it? These are some serious questions that at times may require serious honesty to the point of sorrow or shame with yourself. And at times, these are some of the great leading questions to the final choice to come forward on an issue that you may feel that you need congregational help with. I am sure that in one form or another, your struggle is not unique to you in this congregation. There is someone out here in this history, in their history, who will be able to identify with you, or perhaps be able to bring your ailing soul comfort and encouragement. Remember that we read the Scripture doesn't have, people that we have given us in the Scripture didn't always have an awe-inspiring track record when it came to spotless service of the Lord. In fact, many came from walks of life that other followers may have scoffed at or were concerned by. Tax collectors, prostitutes, and pagans all have a place with Christ if they dedicate their present and future to Him. Excuse me. The L in sample history refers to last oral intake. And medically, this is what was the last thing consumed by the body. In our sense, what was the last thing consumed by the mind or by the spirit? This can go a couple ways. One being literally, what was the last bit of information you fed your mind on from one moment to the next? And if we were to lose our life in that moment, what would be the last thing on your mind? And would you want it to be? Or the letter L in our example can be taken as, when was the last time you feasted on the Word or hungered and thirsted after righteousness? And I don't mean that to be, when was the last time we thought it would be tolerable to read from the Scripture, but when was the last time you wanted or needed to read from it? The Beatitudes in Matthew 5 tell us that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. Conversely, Proverbs 27 and 20 in the English Standard Version that I've been quoting from says, "Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, and never satisfied are the eyes of man." Another popular translation, the King James Version, says, "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied." how horrible this world would be, or the life hereafter, to never be satisfied. The last letter of our sample history is E. And that is in regard to the events leading up to whatever prompted the 911 call. In our example today, I want to consider this to be what have been the events leading you to your current state. After your personal inventory, I want to look at what is your state. Where do you find yourself? Do you find yourself in sync with the Word on the narrow path? Or have incrementalism and distraction crept in and caused you to falter and find yourself distanced from your God? Whether you find yourself in one place or the other is caused by a few things. First is the events that have happened to you, the outward exterior things, you could say the signs, and the symptoms, or how you have let those affect you. You may be in difficult times and be strong in the faith, finding comfort in the fact that God is with you and that this congregation is with you. You may even be in good times, comforted by the things of this world, which may distract you or peel you away a little at a time. We have a merciful God who has extended His grace far and above the comprehension that His Son died in accordance with His will, and that there is a way to find eternal salvation with Him. That can be achieved through His grace and us working out our own salvation, which I firmly believe requires a great deal of personal insight and a consistent reevaluation of where we are, where we want to be, and what may be holding us back. So wherever you find yourself, off point by a small margin, by a great distance, this congregation and many others like it can be a part of that help. But ultimately, we have to offer up our humility and our sin, and ourselves to the great physician, and he can offer up grace, peace, and salvation in return. It's a pretty great trade if you think about it. And before you grab your songbooks, and I know that you know what's coming next, and that is the invitation, you would be correct. Please truly give consideration to these words, that if you find yourself at a stage in your life in this congregation has any chance of helping you, please let it be known. Now, or to a person that you feel you can confide in before, after service, or any time during the week. The power of prayer is strong. And if you need assistance, there is significant help in letting it be known so that the rest of us can help to try to make that difference for you through prayer or through personal experience. And I know this through personal experience. Thank you.